Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Beis. We're beginning four lines from the top, Nun Beis Amud Aleph. In yesterday's shiur, at the end of the shiur, we had a Mishnah which brought about three opinions as to how one went, the Kohen Gadol went from the entranceway in the Heichal through the Heichal, which sometimes refers to the entire structure of the Beis HaMikdash proper itself, but usually, and right now we'll say that it means the outer part, which is known as the Kodesh, and then there's the entranceway. We have the Machlokas, whether there was two curtains or one curtain in the Bayis Sheni, and if there were two curtains, so that it opened up on the southern side, and you traverse going from south to north, and you went into the Kodesh Kodesh on the north side. And we had the two opinions then that you went in directly through the north side, or you went in a slightly circuitous way because you couldn't walk in directly. And the other opinion said, no, you went in on the southern side, and we said you couldn't go in directly because of the soot on the wall, so that's why you went in a slightly circuitous way. Just as an aside, the Shaman Tzion Balacha says, why didn't they clean the walls? So there wouldn't be any question of the soot. He said that was a hidur mitzvah to show that the menorah was always giving off the smoke, and that was a hidur mitzvah not to clean the wall. That's why he didn't go in directly on the southernmost side. Anyway, that's just a quick reminder. We were in the end of yesterday's shir, and now we pick up four lines on the top, Nun Beis Amud Aleph, with Amar Rav Nosson. Nosson said, the Amatraxin, in the first Beis HaMikdash, there was a wall, not a curtain, and this wall, Lo Hichriyu Bo Chachamim, Ikilifrim, Ikilichutz. As we spent a lot of time discussing in the end of yesterday's shir, it was unclear what the status of this wall was. Was it Kodesh Kodoshim status, or was it Kodesh status? And in the first Beis HaMikdash, it didn't make that much of a difference because it was a wall. Second Beis HaMikdash, when they put in a curtain, so according to the opinion that it was Kodesh Kodashim, so then the curtain would have to be inside the Kodesh Kodashim area. According to the opinion that it was not in the Kodesh Kodashim area, then the curtain would have to be outside the Kodesh Kodashim area, but they didn't know. So therefore, that's why the Chachamim in yesterday's Mishnah said that they had two parochasin, and the area in between the two parochasin, that's where the wall stood, the amatraxin. And one of the explanations we brought that from Tosis yesterday was that traxin meant, we don't know, it means lefnim, or does it mean kilochutz? And that's what it tells us over here. Lo hichriyu bo chacham. The rabbis couldn't make the determination, ikilefnim kilochutz, and therefore they put up the two curtains. Fine. The Gemara now starts off and says, maskevlo Ravina. Ravina asks on this, and he says, my timer. What's the suffix over here? Why were the Chacham not sure what the Amma Traxin status was? You're telling me because the Pasuk says, Shlomo HaMelech, of course, built the first base at Mikdash with the instructions that are described from the Navi in Melachim Aleph. And it tells us the dimensions over here. The Bayis that Shlomo HaMelech built, meaning the entire base at Mikdash proper. So that was Shishim Amma Arko, it was 60 Amma in its length. Now the length is always describing the east to west orientation. The Esrim Rochbo, and it was in its width, which describes the north to south orientation, it was only 20 Amma. Ushloshim Amma Komaso, and it was 30 Amma tall. That was the Beis HaMikdash that the Shlomo Melech built. Furthermore, it says, Ksiv, it continues in the Psukim, and it tells us, V'arboam ba'amo hayo habayis. So the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash was divided up into the, what we call the Heichal, the front part, which was the Kodesh, that was the more eastern side, and then the Kodesh Kodashim was the more western side of the building. So we know that the entire length of the building, we just said, was 60 Amma, Shishim Amma Arko. And now it tells us that the Heichal, which was the front part of the building, was 40 Amma. Be'abarim ba'amo hayo ha'bayisuhu ha'bayis. Then it says the Kodesh Kodashim lifnei hadvir. The dvir Rashi tells us is the mechitza. Here mechitza lifnei hadvir means halal based Kodesh Kodashim shu lifnim min mechitza. So inside this mechitza, the amatraxin was the area that was 20 amma in the east to west orientation. Orech was esrim amma orech. The esrim amma roch was also 20 amma wide. The esrim amma komaso. And here it says it was 20 ammas tall. Now, this is obviously in contradiction. We just said a moment ago that the Beis HaMikdash Shlomo built was 30 amma komaso. So Tosos, in the top Tosos over here, gives us two teirutzim. The first one is from Rashi himself in Melachim, where Rashi tells us that, yes, the total height was 30, but the inner height over here was only 20. Then there was a 10 amma Aliyah, an attic above the Kodesh Kodashim. So the total height of the building was 30. That's what the first pasuk says. And the height actually of the building inside was only 20 because it was an Aliyah of 10 above it. That's the first teretz that Tosfos gives from Rashi himself. Then he brings out from the Gemara in Bava Basra, the second teretz that says it's talking here when it says 30, that's the total height. And when it says it's 20, the height, it means from the top of the Aron. The Aron had on it the Kruvim, and the Kruvim were 10 amma tall. So the 10 amma of the Kruvim is not included when it says then there's 20 Amah above the Kruvim. So both are reconciled that the total height was 30 Amah. These are the two Terushim that Tosus gives us. In any event, the Gemara says, V'lo yadinun Amah Traxin, and we don't know whether the Amah Traxin was included in the 60 Amah, in the 40 Amah of the Heichal, or in the 20 Amah of the Kodesh Kodashim. Imehani Esrim, v'imehani Abad. So are you telling me, Ravina says, Maskiv lo Ravina, are you telling me that this was the machlokes that we had? We don't know the Chachamim, whether the Amah Traxin was in the first 40 Amah or in the last 20 Amah. Who says? That could be very simply resolved. The Dilma, lo mehani esrim, lo mehani abon. It's not included in these 20 of the Kodesh Kedoshim, nor is it included in the 40 of the Heichal itself. Why? V'chalala koshav. The only thing that the Gemara is writing down, the only thing that this Sukkim or Darshan is to tell us the Chalolim, the space. So there's 40 Am of space within the Heichal. There's 20 Am of space within the Kodesh Kodashim. However, Kosolim, Lo Kochoshim. It doesn't include the walls. And I'll show you this is right, Ravina says. And therefore, the Kasha and Rav Nosson, how can you tell me that the rabbis didn't know? I'll show you. Beferish, it says, Teda, the Kol Heichal de Kochoshiv, Kosolim, Choshiv Leila Didei. If you're talking about the walls, it mentions them specifically. As you can see from the following Mishnah in Midos, the Mishnah Midos tells us that Nan HaHechol Meya Almeya Bero Meya. The Hechol could be viewed as like a cube. Now, it's not a perfect cube because, as we'll see, the front part, the area known as the vestibule, the Ulam, that stretched out an extra 15 Amah on the northern side and an extra 15 Amah on the southern side. So the actual width, really, inside of the entire Hechol was only 70 Amah. So we call it 100 because the entire front structure was 100 Amah, so it was 100 Amah in its north-south, which is always the width, and it's 100 Amah in its east-west, which is also called the Orech, and it also has to be 100 Amah tall, which is called the Koma, and that's what the Mishnah Midas tells us. Ha-hecho meya, al-meya, bero meya. It was 100 by 100 by 100. It wasn't, again, as I said, a perfect cube. The way that the Gemara describes elsewhere the Heichal with the Ulam in front of it is like a lion crouching, and the lion, the body, that's the Heichal, and lying on its arms, which stretch out, so to say, its forearms, that stretch out a little bit to the north and a little bit to the south, that's the extra 15 Amah to each side. In any event, we view this as 100 by 100 by 100. Now we're going to talk about the dimensions as you go from the east to the west. So it tells us that that dimension was 100. And where do you get that 100 from? Kosel Ulam Chomesh. You actually have the width of the wall of the Ulam, and here the point is that it specifically, if it wants to talk about the walls, it specifically mentions them. So the kosol of the ulam is chomesh. That's 5, going the east to west orientation, how thick it was. Then the ulam itself, achas esrei, that was 11. So keep track of the numbers. 5 plus 11 is 16. And then you have the kosol of the heichal. That is the wall as you go from the ulam into the heichal. You have a wall there. So that's also sheish. That's another 6. So we're up to 6 and 16 is 22. And then you have an orko, arbam ama. Then you have the 40 space of the heichal itself, the building itself, the kodesh. So it's 40 plus 22 is 62. Then it says b'feirish, you have the ama traxin. So that's now up to 63. Then the esrim ama ben kodesh hakodashim. Then you have the 20 ama space of the kodesh kodashim. So 63 plus 20 is 83. And then you have kosel haheichal sheish. Then you have the back wall of the heichal. Now here it's referring to the heichal as the entire structure, but it really means the kodesh kodashim. And so you have 83 plus 6 is now 89. And then you have the top. There were certain chambers that circled the entire building of the Kodesh Kodashim, as well as the Kodesh, and these chambers, we're really dealing here with the second floor chambers. That's how Tosus understands this, in that the basement level, if you wish, was below the ground, and this was ground level, and that's why as you went up the Taws, the wall slanted, and the space of the Taw increased. So the second floor space was 6, so now we have 89 plus 6, so now we have 89 plus 6 is 95, and then that's the Hator Sheish, and then the Kosel Hator Chomish, and then the last 5, back wall, the wall was another 5, and that gets you 95 plus 5 is 100. So you see clearly that if they wanted to mention the Amatraxin, it would be specifically mentioned. So why are you assuming that the Machlokis is that we don't know it's 60, whether it was included in the 40 of the Heichal or the 20 of the Kodesh Kodashim? No, it actually was 61. And as it says, Beferish over here, that's not included in the numbering. So what was the suffix? So Gemara says, Ella, the suffix was kedushase. Yes, there was an amatraxin, but we don't know how to treat it in halacha. Ikilifnim dami or ikilichutz dami. Do we consider it like the inner kodesh kedushim in terms of its kedusha, or do we consider it with the less hallowed area of the kodesh? So now, in the first base of Mikdash, there's a wall. It's nishkafelich. It's not such a big deal. But in the second base of Mikdash, when you're dealing with the parochas, and according to the Chacham, that there were a double parochas, so that space in between, we don't know how to treat it. Is it status of Kodesh Kodashim, or is it status of Kodesh? That was the question. And therefore, that was Rav Nosson's statement that we just brought down at the beginning of this year. Rav Nosson, Amatraxin, Lohichriyubo Chachamim, Ikilifnim, Ikilichutz. That was the status. Now, Gemara says, behind the Rav Yochanan, this is in accord with Rav Yochanan said that Boy Yosef Ish Hutzal. Yosef, who was the man of Hutzal, as we'll see, he had many, many different names. The Mefarshim explained that he was constantly on the run. The authorities were constantly trying to stomach him to stop teaching Torah. He was a fugitive from the secular, totalitarian authorities that didn't allow him to learn Torah. So therefore, he went under many aliases. That's the simple understanding over here. Alternatively, each of these names that we're going to see that he has represented something about himself or about his holy father. In any event, that was the question that Boy Yosef Ishutzal asked. He asked the following shaila. It says in the Psukim, when you're again dealing with the Beis HaMikdash, how to build the Beis HaMikdash, in Melachim Aleph, where Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash, so it says, Udavir, it says that this Davir, which we said is the Mechitza, Besoch HaBayis Mipinima, it was inside Mipinima, and it was set up over there to put in the Aron Kodesh. Now, what does it mean that this Devir was Besoch HaBayis Mipinimo Hechin? So, Ibayelhu, they asked the following shaila in the base of Medrash, and it was as follows. Hechi Kol Makro, what does this pasuk mean? Does it mean Udevir Besoch HaBayis? Does it mean that the Devir is inside the Bayis, which means that the area of the Kodesh Kedoshim was internally to that, inside that, more west of that, and therefore it doesn't have the status of being the Kodesh Kedoshim? Or does it mean, Ol Dilma, is this the way you should read the Pasuk? Chachi Komar, Udavir, Besoch HaBayis Mipnimo, the Udavir has the status of being Kodesh Kedoshim. So this Pasuk could be darshan both ways, and that was the ultimate question, that the rabbis didn't know how to darshan this pasuk. Should you darshan it as the Devir being inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, or the Devir being the demarcation line, and it itself was Kodesh, and everything inside of it was Kodesh Kedoshim? So this is the machlokis. That's what Yosef Ish Hutzal was asking, which way should we darshan this pasuk? Now, from the fact that he said, I don't know which way to darshan this pasuk, that implies that he had a doubt about this. The Gemara says, Umi misafkale. Who said that he had a doubt about this? Because the Hatanya, we learned in Ebraisa, now here it says other names of this Yosef Ish Hutzal, and here he's referred to as Isi ben Yehuda, which we'll see is the same person as Yosef Ish Hutzal. And here he clearly says, I have no doubt about this pasuk. That would be the ultimate question. What does he say over here in this Braisa? So Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Chomesh Mikros Batorah Ein Lehem Echreya, that there are five psukim in the Torah, as Rashi explains, we don't know, ladas hechon heinote. A word could be darshan with the clause in front of it, or it could be darshan with the clause after it. And it would change around the meaning of the word, which are you darshan it. And there are only five such examples in the Torah. And our pasuk over here of Devir Besoch HaBayis Mipunima Hechin, so that is not included in these five sveikos. The Gemara will ultimately answer that, well, we're talking here about the Torah, and this is Nach. So that will be the answer that we'll eventually give. But right now, the question is that this Yosef Ish Hutzal, Isi Ben Yehuda, same person, so he did not include this Devir question, the Amatraxin, was not one of these five sveikos. In other words, he was clear as to whether it was Kodesh or Kodesh Kedoshim. What are these five psukim that we are having difficulty understanding which way the pasuk should be darshan? So we to Nun Beis, Amud Beis, and these psukim in the order that we have them are out of order. Tosos has a whole discussion as to why they're out of order, and in fact, if you look in the Masoras HaShas, in the Os Aleph, he says from the Yalkut and others that it really should be listed in the order that you find them in the psukim. But nevertheless, we'll leave them in the incorrect order that we find them in right now, and there are explanations for why it's in this order according to this Girsa. In any event, the pasuk tells us something about the Se'es, which we'll see what that means, something about Mishukodim, we'll see what that means, something about Arur, and something about the kam. So you have these five words, seis, mishukodim, mocha, oru, and kam, which we're not sure how to darshan them. Now, we have the girsa vehatanya, but it really should be vitanya, because we're continuing in this discussion, and this is a continuation of what this braisa is meaning. So what are these five? And again, it tells us that who Yosef ish hutzol, who Yosef ha-Bavli, who Isi ben Yehuda, who Isi ben Gur Aryeh, who Isi ben Gamliel, who Isi ben Mechalel, Umash, what was his real name? Isi ben Akiva Shemo. His real name was Isi ben Akiva. In any event, this person had only sveikas on these five psukim, as opposed to he had no sveika on the dvir. So how can you tell me that the question that Yosef ish hutzol, who is the same as this Tana, Isi ben Yehuda, how could he have possibly had a suffix about this? Now, what were these five words? Now we'll go dashing these five words. So Rashi goes through all of them in some detail. There are other similar explanations in the Rabbeinu Hananel and other of the Rishonim. We'll go through it like Rashi. The top Rashi says, Seis, the Pasuk tells us, Vayomer Shemo Kayin, Loma Chora Loch. Why are you so upset, Kayin? After Kayin killed Hevel, so Kosh Baruch Hu tells him, you're giving me a lot of trouble. And he says, why are you so upset, however? V'loma naflu panecha. Why are you so sad? And then the pasuk continues, hello, imtativ, if you do good. Now, the next word, seis, is going to be the problem word. Do we read it? Imtativ, if you accept to do tshuva, seis, then very good. I'll accept your tshuva. And this will be a lashon of slicha. V'im lo, seitiv, but if you don't accept to do tshuva, la pesa chatos robeitz, and you end up going to Gehenna. So the word se'es, Rashi says, could be dashed in two ways. He says it could be dashed in the first way, in lo se'etiv se'es, a lotion of slicha, or he could say, if you don't do tshuva, so then in lo se'etiv, and the word se'es goes on that, the lotion nisiyas ovenu, that you'll have to carry forward your sin. Now, Tosas Yeshanim here points out that the second way of learning it, the vav is a little bit unnecessary. But in any event, that is the potential of dashing the word seis going on the first part of the pasuk or going on the second part of the pasuk. So that's number one. By the way, the Tosfos Yerushalmi also points out in the same Dibra Masel, the top one over here, seis, he says, there's actually a Yerushalmi that brings down a sixth pasuk where it says by the Bnei Yaakov, it says, Bo min hasodeh, and it says kishomam, and the word kishomam could go back on the previous part or go on the next part as well. Why that's not included over here, that's a different discussion. In any event, that's the first word, seis. The second word is mishukodim. The word Mishukadim comes from the Psukim, which deal with the menorah. How was the menorah designed? Uva menorah arbor givim. The menorah had on it four cups, and Mishukadim. Now, these cups are described as Mishukadim, which means that they had an engraving on them like an almond, a shokate. So the word Mishukadim goes back, possibly, on the first part of the Pasuk, the arbor givim. Or do we say kaftorea uprochel? The next words in the pasuk talking about the kaftor, which always translated as the knobs and the prochel, the flowers. So are they also mishukadim or not? So the word mishukadim could go on the arba gevim, or the word mishukadim could go on the kaftorea uprochel. And that is the question. Now, the next word that we have is mohar. Now, this is referring to the battle that Chai Yisrael fought with Amalek. So it says, "Vayomer Moshe Yeshua b'chalanu anoshim v'sei lochim Amalek." This is the famous reading of the Torah that we have at the end of Bishalach, which we read on Purim morning, and it says, "Go, we're going to go battle Amalek v'sei v'ilochem ba'Amalek." And then the word machar. Does machar mean that we're going to go out and battle Amalek machar? Or does it mean machar anochi nitzava rosh hagivah matei elokim yodei? Or tomorrow I will go and daven. But tomorrow I'll daven, not today. So the word machar, again, does it go back on the first part of the pasuk, or does it go on the second part of the pasuk? That is the third one. Then we have arur. So this is the Birchas Yaakov. When Yaakov Avinu tells Shimon Levi, oh, you guys did something wrong. Shimon Levi, achim. And then it says, bi'apam hargu ish uvirtsonam ikru shor. And then it has the word arur. So is this arur going on bi'apam, on their anger? Yaakov Avinu was upset at their anger, and therefore he cursed their anger, or apam, so it goes on the last part of the pasuk, or do we say that in fact it goes on the first part of the pasuk? Now, the way we have broken up the pasuk, clearly the word or apam is the start of a new pasuk, but we don't have psukim in the actual Torah itself, so these the way we divide up the psukim in our chumashim, so that's not necessarily the only way they could be read. So you could possibly read the word that arur goes back on the ikru shor. Shor is a reference to Kenan. So Kenan is cursed. We know that Kenan is cursed. So therefore, do we read the word that way? The arur goes on the first part of the pasuk, goes on the last part of the pasuk. And finally, the last word that we had doubt about is v'kam. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu who's being told by Kosh Baruch Hu, V'yom Hashem Moshe, Hincha shuchev im avosecha, v'kam. You're going to now be, the end of your 120 years of life, you're going to die, and v'kam. But eventually you will come back and be have tchias emesim. Is that the way you read the pasuk? V'kam goes back on, v'shochev im avosecha, v'kam. Or does it say, v'kam o'am hazeh? Or does it say that the people, after your demise, after you're gone, are going to rebel? So the word v'kam could go again on the first part of the pasuk and the last part of the pasuk. So how can you tell me, after all of these drashas are said and done, that Isi ben Yehuda, Yosef Ish Hutzal, didn't know whether the devir meant it was Kodesh or Kodesh Kodashim? It's not included in this list of the five that he was uncertain about, implying that he was certain about it. So where it says, no, the answer I gave you before, v'dorai seleka. You're right. In Chumash, there are only these five. However, this pasuk about the devir is in Navi, and bidin devieh ikah, and therefore he was also uncertain about that. He didn't include it in his list because he was only including in his list things that were unclear from Chumash. That Gemara says, really, those are the only five things? Well, like we brought down from the Torah, so Yishanim, there was a sixth one? Or with the Reis Lekka, there's nothing else in the Reis, that's why these five are these six things? What about Va'ikah, the Bay Ruchista? Ruchista had the following question. It says, in regards to the Pasuk, Vayishlach Esnare B'nei Yisrael Vayalu Olos. So the Pasuk tells us that at the time of Matan Torah, so they sent the Nare B'nei Yisrael to go and bring Olos. So they brought Olos. Now, Olos normally implies Kivasim. They imply sheep. Vayizbichu Zvachim Shlomim. Then they says that they brought additional sacrifices, Zvachim that were Shlomim, LaHashem, Parim. And they brought, in this situation, Parim. The word Hashem is not in our Gisa, but of course the word Hashem is in the Pasuk in Chumash, and it is added over here by Masoras Hashas. So it says at the end of the Pasuk, Vayizbichu Zvachim Shlomim LaHashem Parim. So does the word Parim go only on the latter part, or does it go on the former part as well? So do we say that the first part, Olos, were Kvasim, and the second part, the Zvachim Shlomim, were Parim? Or Dilma, or do we say, Idi Parim, that the word Parim goes back on the first part of the Pasuk as well? So how can you tell me there's no other Psukim in Chumash that we have this question? Clearly, Rav Chisda had this question. How do you dash in the words? Are they going on the first part, or only on the second part? So where it says an obvious teres, Rav Chisda Masavkale. However, Isi ben Yehuda b'shitale. There is no doubt in Isi ben Yehuda's mind how to darshan this pasuk. He clearly holds that one of the two ways to darshan it is the correct way. He didn't have a suffix about this, and Rav Chisda had a suffix. Do you darshan the first part parim, or is the first part dealing with kvasim? Okay. That concludes this little section. Now we begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah continues in terms of the avod of the Kohen Gadol. In yesterday's Mishnah, which we discussed at the beginning of today's shir, we got the Kohen Gadol inside to the Lefnai V'Lefnim, either going through the double parochas, which our Mishnah holds that there's two parochas. And over here, as the Mishnah starts off and tells us, Hachitzona, the outer parochas, Haisa Perufa Min Adarom. Again, if the two parochas, and you entered in on the southern side of the parochas, the southern wall, and the parochas went all the way to the southern wall, but then it was flipped back on itself. Rashi explains that it was prufa, means rosho kefula letzarechutz. So it was folded over towards the outer side, v'nechezes bekeres shelzov. It was hooked up on some sort of a golden hook. Lios pesucha v'medes. It was held open in that way. And the Kohen Gadol could enter in on the southern side, and then upnimis minatzofon, the inner curtain was pinned up in the same way on the northern side, and he walked in between the two curtains. So he entered in on the southern side, turns towards the north, and walks from south to north. Mahalech b'neihem achi megila tzofon. And he walks that way until he reaches the northern side, and then he turns left and enters into the Kodesh Kodashim through the northern aspect of the inner curtain that is pinned up in the same way as the outer curtain was pinned up on the southern side. This is pinned up on the northern side. So Mahalek B'nei Ach Megil Tzofon, he reaches all the way north, and then Higil Tzofon, he reaches the northern aspect, the northern wall, and he then Hofech Pan L'Dorom, he turns towards the Kodesh Kodashim, he enters into the Kodesh Kodashim, and then he turns Dorom, he goes to his left, and he faces Dorom, and now he's walking with inside the Kodesh Kodashim, Mahalek L'Smolo Im HaParochas, he's walking in the easternmost part of the Kodesh Kodashim, right by the Parochas wall. The Parochas is to his left, and he's walking facing south with the Parochas to his left until he reaches the middle of the Kodesh Kodashim area. Asher Megillah Aron. Now, in the first base of Migdash, there was an Aron. In the second base of Migdash, there was not an Aron. So we're going to ask in a moment, in the Gemara, how can you tell me there's an Aron here? We're talking about the second base of Migdash because there are curtains, so there shouldn't be an Aron over there. And we'll say it means the place of the Aron. But for now, we'll just read the words as they are. Asher Megillah Aron. Until he reaches the Aron, or the place of the Aron, ultimately, is what we're going to say, which is plop in the middle of the Kodesh Kodashim. He now reaches the Aron, so he now has been facing south, so according to most of the Mefarshim, it doesn't say clearly in Rashi, but according to most of the Mefarshim, he then turns west. So now his behind is up against the Parochas, or near the Parochas, and he is facing in a western orientation, looking right at the Aron. The Aron had poles, what are called badim, that went in an east-west orientation. The Aron is 2.5 amah wide. And the bad on the left side, which is on the southern side, and the bad on the right side, which is on the northern side, so he is going to be in between them, or oriented in between them. Higil Aron, he then moves away from the easternmost Paroches wall of the Kodesh Kodashim, and walks up to the Aron, when the Aron was present. Higil Aron, he reaches to the bottom of the Aron, because they're going to come out, project to him first. They're more east than the Aron itself. So he reaches to the Aron, or the bottom of the Aron, and he places now down on the floor. Remember, he was holding in his right hand the shovel that had the golden shovel that had the coals inside of it. In his left hand, he had the kach that had the ketores inside of it. And nosin es ha-machto beit shnei ha-badim. And he puts down the machto, this shovel, the golden shovel, with the coals inside of it, in between the two badim. Again, no sein es hamachto ben shnei habadim. He puts the coals on the shovel down there, and now he's going to burn the incense. Again, this was a major difference of opinion between us, the Prushim, and the Tzdukim, who totally incorrectly made up the drasha in the pasuk saying that you have to come into the Kodesh Kodashim with it already smoking. So here we clearly see the right way to do this, which is that the incense is burned inside the Kodesh Kodashim. So the coals are now on the floor in front of the Kohen Gadol. Again, he's facing in an east-to-west orientation, looking towards the Aron, when the Aron was present in the first base at Migdash, with the coals on the floor. And Tzavar es ha-ketores agaba yagacholim. He now, we had previously had a discussion that he has to do a second chafina, according to the way we paskin, and he then takes the kaf, does that most difficult activity of re-pouring from the kaf, from the ladle, from the cup, into his two handfuls, and then he sprinkles this ketores that he now has, melo chafnov, onto the coals. We'll see how he does this in the Gemara. Tzavar es ha-ketores agabe yegacholim. He piles it up on top of the gacholim. Now, in yesterday's shiur, we also had a machlokes as to whether it was spread out thinly or it was piled up. So here, clearly, we see we go like the opinion that it's piled up, so it will burn slower and it'll take longer for all the incense to be burnt up. So he's tzavar es ha-ketores. He piles up the ketores agabe gacholim. The moral have a question: does he start the place of the coals closest to him, or the place of the coals further away from him? In any event, now the coals are starting to burn the incense, and his smale kol habayis kula asher, and the entire Kodesh Kodashim fills up with the smoke from the burning of the incense. Once that is done, yotza, he now leaves, ubalo b'derech beis knisaso, he retraces his steps, he goes backwards. Tosos in Dira Maskul, yotza points out that normally we say bia has to be going forward. So here, how can you tell me ubalo b'derech beis knisaso, that he's going out backwards, if that's called bia? So Tosos points out that even though it uses Lashon of Bia over here, in this situation, this Lashon of Bia, Yotzei Derech Achorov Kitalmid HaNiftar MiRabo. He goes out in a submissive pose that, as we do when we walk away from the Aron Kodesh, you back away from the Aron Kodesh, so he doesn't turn around and have his behind Kaviyochol towards HaKodesh Baruch Hu, but he backs away. So he goes out the exact same way he came in, so his face is still facing the south as he goes and retraces his steps, walking backwards from the south to north along the Parochas as he leaves the Kodesh Kodashim. So Yotzo Volo B'derech Beis Knisoso, same way out, and as he's leaving, Umispalo Tilo Kitzora B'Bayis Achitzo. Once he leaves, he says a very short tefillah, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Savayim. Again, mentioned already many times in the first base of Midrash, the Kohanim Gadol were in general tzaddikim. So they all survived Yom Kippur. The second Beis HaMikdash, you had hundreds and hundreds of Kohanim that died on Yom Kippur because they weren't worthy to be the Kohen Gadol. It was a bought position, or they were unscrupulous, or they just were Rishayim, and they died in the Kodesh Kodashim. So therefore, he would say a Tefillah Ketzara when he did survive in the Beis HaChitzon, in the Kodesh. It actually says what we call the Heichal. And then he wouldn't be Marech, well, you're Marech, but also because then Shalol Avis is Yisrael. If he doesn't come out, so the people would be very nervous that he died inside. So therefore, he would say a short tefillah thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu and davening for Klal Yisrael, and then he would exit. Now, they invariably tied a rope around him in the second Beis HaMikdash so they could pull him out. If Rechmon Litzlan, he didn't survive. Now the Gemara starts off and says, B'mai Eskinen, the question that I had alluded to beforehand, what are we talking about over here? Elam of Mikdash Rishon, if you're talking about the first Beis HaMikdash when the Aron was present, so then Miha B'Parochas, then there was the Amatraxin, there wasn't the Parochas. Ah, you can tell me Elam B'Mikdash, you're talking about the second Beis HaMikdash, so then Miha B'Aron, then there was no Aron over there. So how can you tell me that in the second Beis HaMikdash he went through the Parochas and he saw the Aron and he was Bein Habadim? There was no Aron, there were no Bein Habadim. And we know this is true because of Tanya, because we have a famous Bryce, and it tells us Misha Nignaz Aron, when the Aron was hid away, according to most, it was hidden away by Yoshio, and we'll see the psukim that refer to this. There are other opinions that disagree with this, but this is the opinion that Agamar has right now, that the Aron was nignaz by Yoshio towards the end of his reign. He also was nignaz with the Aron. We'll see this is based upon a series of Xeri Shavos. Nignizah imo, with the Aron, were also hidden away the following things. It's Sinsenes Haman, right? We're told in Parsha Shemini, Kach Tzinsenes Haman and Shomam Lo Omer Mon. And this was held for all future generations to be able to see. When you do the bidding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you get free food. So therefore, they had a Tzinsenes Mon, and that was hidden away with the Aron. Utsluchas Shemen HaMishcha, they had Moshe Rabbeinu Shemen HaMishcha, which never was used up. It was miraculously able to go and anoint all the Kalim and all the Levium and the Kohanim, and it wasn't used up. There is a famous medrash that says this was the Pach Shemen that they found in the Nes of Chanukah. In any event, there's also a medrash that says that this was the Pach that Yaakov Avinu went back to when he got into the fight with the Malach, with the whole idea of the Gid HaNosha of Yaakov getting hurt. So this was that same Shemen HaMishcha that we're referring to. In any event, this Shemen HaMishcha was also put away. It's Luchas Shemen HaMishcha. Umaklu Shel Aron Ushkedeo for Achel, when we had the famous machlokes between Korach Vaadoso and Moshe and Aaron. So Moshe demonstrated that Aaron was truly the designee. It wasn't nepotism. And his makel, his stick, blossomed. Ushkedeo ufrochel. It had almonds growing from it, and it had flowers growing from it, prochel. And therefore, this stick was miraculously, it never dried up. And it was also put away in the area where they were nignaz the Aaron. Finally, the argaz sheshigu plishtim doron lelke Yisrael. So we all remember the famous story where the Navi tells us in Shmuel Aleph that the Aron was captured by the Plishtim. They took it out inappropriately into battle, and the Plishtim captured the Aron, but they were very unhappy that they captured the Aron because they had all sorts of trouble. They had a certain plague. It wasn't COVID, but it was a horrible plague, and some suggest it was like hemorrhoids, others suggest it was like a prolapsed rectum, a very severe problem in the lower part of the bowel, and they said enough is enough, and they returned it, and they felt that they had to go bring a doren, a present to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they sent back an interesting doren. They sent back golden mice and golden hemorrhoid like structures, and this was this doren that they sent back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Klai Yisrael. Shenemar, now the pasuk that we have is a little bit incorrect. It should be V'eis Klei Hazov, not V'Klei Hazov. The pasuk is V'eis Klei Hazov Asher Hashivosim Lo Osham. So when they sent back the Aron, it miraculously went on its own, and they also put this gift, this Doron, on the side of it, and it says, V'shilachtim also V'holach, and it went on its own, and it traveled back to Klai Yisrael, and ultimately this present was placed with the Aron, and ultimately when Yoshio hid it, it was put away as well. Umiginazo, where was the Aron hidden? When was the Aron hidden? So Gemara says, Yoshio Ginazo, the great King Yoshio, who tried very, very hard to delay and not have the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He did tremendous things in terms of turning Klai Yisrael around, but ultimately was not totally successful. And he saw and that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed, and he hid the Aron and all these other artifacts. Ma Rosh Ganzo, what did he see that made him hide it away? He saw the pasuk Rosh Hakosuv. It says in the pasuk in the Tocha, Yolech Hashem Oscha V'Yesmalkecha Asher Tokim Olecha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to take you away, and you're going to be in exile. So therefore, he said they're going to come and take the holy items here, we better hide them away. Amanu can also, and he hid them all away. Shenemar, as the pasuk says further, Bayomer lalavim hamevinim l'chol Yisrael hakadoshim l'Hashem, tenu es aron hakodesh b'bayis asher bono Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael. So you go and take these things and put it into the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says the obvious question, it was already in the Beis HaMikdash, so it means he meant to go and hide it away. Because he says, ein lochem maso b'kosi, if you're no longer going to have to carry this around, but let's all do tshuva, and maybe we can take it back out of hiding eventually. But according to our, unfortunately, this opinion, it was kept in hiding. There were chambers underneath the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech had built, knowing that this day would ultimately come. And according to this understanding, that it was not captured by the enemy, by Nebuchadnezzar. It was not brought to Babel, but it was kept, in fact, inside, underneath the caverns of the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that Yoshio hid this all away. So here's our question. We come to the conclusion of our question. How can you say that in the second Beis HaMikdash there was an Aron? There wasn't an Aron. So the Gemara says, V'yomer Rabbi Elazar, how do we know that all these other things were hidden away, by the way, as well? So this is through a series of Xeris Shavas. Asya Shoma Shoma, Asya Doros Doros, and Asya Mishmeris Mishmeris. These are all Psukim. Rashi goes through them, that go and connect each of these two things together. So we have the first pasuk, it says Shoma in regards to the Mon, it says Shoma in regards to the Aron, it says the word Doros in regards to the Shemana Mishcha, and it says the word Doros in regards to the Mon, so that connects that, and then it says the word Mishmaros in regards to the Makel Shoket of Aron, and said the word Mishmeres as well in regards to the Mon. So through this series of Gzeri Shavos, we could connect all of these things that were hidden away. No, what's the answer? Bottom line is, there was no Aron in second Beis HaMikdash, so it's already like I told you, Lolam HaMikdash, we are dealing with second Beis HaMikdash because we're dealing with the Parochas. That's the one thing that is absolute. So what does it mean when it says, "Umay Gili Aron"? It doesn't mean literally the physical Aron, it meant to the place of the Aron, Makom Aron. That's not what it says. Hoktani Nosen Es HaMachta Levein Shnei Abadim. He put it directly in between the two poles, the badim of the Aron. As I said, the badim were to the left and to the right of the Aron, and the orientation that the Aron was in, this meant that the poles were in an east-to-west orientation to the left, which is the southern side of the Aron, and to the right, which is the northern side of the Aron. So there were no badims. How can you tell me that he put it down? So where says, Emo kivein shnei abadim. It meant in the area where the badim were. Fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, he went and piled up the Ketores. So again, we had in yesterday's discussion, Tanan, command the Omer Tzover. This goes according to the opinion that he piled it up, as opposed to he mufazir it, he spread it out. If you spread it out, it will burn more quickly. If you mufazir it, it has a chance to have the entire area of the coals being utilized all at once, as opposed to if you pile it up, if you tzavar, so then it's all in one spot, so the heat will take a little bit longer to get to the top part of the incense, which is not directly on the coals. In any event, our Mishnah clearly holds like that opinion of tzavar, he piles it up. But even within the opinion of piling up, there are two possibilities I already alluded to before. Tanicha, the one brisa says, tzavar pinima, he goes and puts the ketoretz on the innermost part. Pnima means closer to the Aron, Shichutzla, which is further away from him. His body, again, is standing more east. The Aron is more west. The coals are spread out in front of him. So he starts putting the incense on the westernmost coals, which are Pnima, closer to the Aron, but Chutzalo, further away from him. That's one brisa. The other brisa says the exact opposite. The other brisa says, Tzovra Chutzah. He spreads out the incense furthest away from the Aron, meaning more east, Shehi Pnima Lo, which is closer to him. So which one was it? So it's a machlokis. That's exactly it. It's a machlokis tanoim. There's no way to say that this is one opinion. There's two separate opinions. Furthermore, Yom Rabbi says, Mistabra, it makes sense to say, Kiman Yomar Pinima, it makes sense to say, like the first opinion, that he started off burning the incense on the coals that were closer to the Aron Pinima, more in, more west, than Shehi Chutzalo, which is further away from him. Why is that? Because it's not. Because we have a Mishnah that we have in Talmud, which tells us that every day when they brought the Ketores, in the morning and in the afternoon, in Shachris and Bein Harbayim, so they had the regular Ketores that was brought every day, not the Yom Kippur Ketores that was special, but the everyday Ketores in the morning and in the afternoon, so that was placed on the Inner Mizbeach. So the Kohen who was doing that had to put it on there. So they said to him, be very careful. The Lamdan or so, they would tell him, be Zohar, just be careful. We turn to Nun Gimel Omid Aleph. You should be careful. Shelo tatzkel mipanecha. Don't start putting the ketores down on the coals right in front of you and then go to the coals that are further away from you. Because as you put the incense down, it's going to flare up and it's going to start burning. And if you have to then stretch yourself out over that, shemotichva, you're going to burn your arm. So therefore, it makes sense to start with the coals that are furthest away from you and then come back to your body. So too, in the Holy of Holies, it made sense that the Kohen, when he piled up the ketores, and he's starting further away from him rather than the ones that are closer to him. With this, we conclude today's share.